We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Oh! Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Back jumper. Got it!
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Happy New Year. Hello and welcome to The Eurostep, a Blue Wire Network podcast. Brought to you today by Untuck It. I am Ty Windisch. I am here, as always, at least on the good ones, with Rohan Kadi. And we are here to talk about the last few days in Milwaukee Bucks basketball, which is pretty meh. The first wave of All-Star voting results, which is also pretty meh, except for the NBA's leading vote-getter, of course. And then we're going to go through some trades. This is going to be our first trade season podcast. Nothing has happened yet. We're just recklessly speculating. Rohan, how's it going?
I'm doing well. I hope everyone out there had a safe and happy New Year. You know, it looks like the Bucks did. We will talk about that. But yeah, we're in that sort of middle portion of the season where it's sort of like, okay, they're rolling, and you know, trade season's coming, so that's going to be exciting. Otherwise, you know, will it? We'll find out. But you know what? It's a good season. It's a good season so far.
Yeah, it is. I certainly can't complain with the Bucks at 31-5. The most recent two victories came this week. Monday's game against the Bulls, not really a spectacular outing. I mean, and it was for the Bucks. I mean, not really a game you want to write home about, I guess. The most important aspects were Giannis and Bledsoe both returning to action and looking good. Bled had been out for a few weeks. He had the avulsions fracture.
Yes, he did. He missed 8 games.
While. Yeah, update from the dazed and contused season the Bucks are having. At first it was called a contusion, then it was the avulsion fracture. He was back. He looked pretty good in that game, and Giannis returned from the sore back that limited him on Christmas and then kept him out the weekend back-to-back. This seemed pretty much like business as usual with the Bucks, mostly healthy, although Wes Matthews did sit out that game, I believe. Was that your takeaway as well, Rohan?
Yeah, it was just, it sort of felt like everything was back to normal. Early stages against the Bulls, it kind of seemed like they were trying to figure out how to, you know, get back together. Because, you know, when you think about it, this, like, the big three haven't played together in a while. Like Giannis, Chris, and Bledsoe, like, because Bledsoe's missed games, and then right before that, Chris Middleton was missing games, so then... I don't know. It had been a while, so it seemed like they were taking a little bit to get back into the flow. But it was nice to see Eric Bledsoe back. He brings a whole new dimension to the offensive game and to the defense. But just like for these two games, it did seem like business as usual.
Yeah. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that. Like last night's game, Wednesday night's game was just
It seemed like 2 years ago, Bucks business as usual.
Yeah, just a disjointed, not an uncohesive. What's the word there? It's sure. Not uncohesive. Incohesive. Is incohesive a word?
I think so. If it's not, it is now. Right.
Yeah, it is now. An incohesive victory over the Timberwolves. Wrong. I don't know what it is. There's definitely a word. We're going to get comments on this one. I do words for a living. This is rough stuff, but I guess this is just our version of the New Year's hangover. The Bucks version was even worse. It took until the very last seconds to finally secure victory against a completely ravaged by injury Timberwolves team that was without, I got to take a deep breath here, Jeff Teague, Andrew Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns, I believe Travion Graham was out as well, Travion Graham. So a lot of injuries for the Wolves, who sure fought like hell regardless. I mean, they've actually been a little bit better without Wiggins and Towns over this stretch, but I don't know. I tweeted after the game, you know, this can just be dumped. Just dump the game. I don't think there was a lot to learn from it. But certainly, I mean, nobody got hurt and it was a win, so I guess it couldn't be that bad, right?
Yeah, it was, I don't know, it just seemed like they were out of sorts, and yeah, probably New Year's hangover, who knows what they were sweating out there, but yeah, it just, like, Naz Reid was killing them. Like, I tweeted this out, I didn't know who that was. Like, I
knew
genuinely
of him as, like, a draft sort of, like, a guy who existed who was young.
I genuinely had not heard that name before yesterday, which is probably says more about me, but it was just like, it was a bunch of G leaguers out there.
He definitely didn't look the way I thought he looked. I remember, like, I've definitely traded rights for him on 2K before during like an expansion draft or something. Like that's the most I knew about Naz Reid. Gorgui Dieng is like good and probably should be playing more. The Timberwolves don't really use him. And of course, Shabazz Napier, one of the famed Bucks killers, continued to kill the Bucks, but potential trade target, more on that probably later. Actually, I don't know. We'll see. Robert Covington didn't have the best game, but neither did Chris Middleton, who certainly everyone. I had people tweeting at me like, "Is there some sort of like leak story about Chris being really drunk last night?" Because so many people tweeted about him being hungover. I don't think there was. I just think
there doesn't need to be a
leaked
story for you to know it.
Yeah, that as well. Giannis was really good though. Hit a nice three late over Gorgui Dieng to put the Bucks up. I forget what the exact score was, but that ended up actually being a crucial play. And again, this game that was so close. Brook Lopez gets called for a lot of fouls that were actually clean blocks, including one Bud challenge and didn't get overturned. Just a frustrating game, pretty much on all fronts. Aside from Giannis, it was really nice to see him have a great game.
Mm-hmm. Robin Lopez almost murdered Jared Culver.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jared Culver did murder Robin Lopez via dunk, but then Robin Lopez was ready to do the real thing. That sequence was, I think, probably outside of Giannis' play, my favorite part of that game.
Oh, no, for sure. It seemed like a good dunk. Like, obviously, it was a good dunk. But it seemed like Culver just said, what did he say exactly?
He said, like, that's me, I think, or something
that's
like that.
That's who I am or something
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, that's who I am.
And then it's just, like, Robin Lopez is just, like, you're a rookie and I am insane. So
Culver was moving away rapidly.
He was running away from Robin Lopez.
Trying to get as many big Timberwolves between him and Robin Lopez as possible. Lopez dropped an expletive, sounds kind of like fudge, we won't repeat here on the podcast, and threw somebody out of the way. And somehow Culver ends up the only one teed up by that incident, which is like, I don't know if that was a makeup call from the Brook Lopez stuff or what, but that to me is unbelievable and spectacular.
It was a perfect encapsulation of this game.
You're just a mess that didn't really make sense.
Yep.
But a Bucks win. So I feel like neither of us, and probably not really many people listening, want us to dive deeper on these games. I mean, the Bulls game was fine, but that's a few days old now, and the Bulls aren't exactly great. It was nice to see the Bucks beat them more comfortably than they had in previous games in the season, but I agree with your point on the Bucks' big three. If you think about it, it's pretty ridiculous that they've won so many games. I mean, they're on pace to, well, I think eclipse 70 wins now,
71,
right?
I think.
Something like that, which is insanely good. I mean, obviously only a few teams have ever reached that mark of wins, but without having all three of their best players for most of the season, I think really speaks to the depth of the team and just how good the system has been working in most of the non-Philly games thus far.
Yeah, it's great to see. It just shows how insanely talented and good this Bucks team is. That once they can keep winning without their top talent, they just always have that next man up mentality, and they keep churning out wins. And once they get everyone back, because was Matthews back for the Timberwolves game?
No, West said again. Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah, so they've still not been at full strength now for, like, I don't know, we should probably go and look at some point, but several weeks in a row running now with at least one starter missing time.
It's since, like, the Chris Middleton injury.
Yeah, it must be.
Mm. So it's been, like, what, 2 months now? It's insanity. But they just keep winning, and they keep showing that they are the best team in the league.
Insanity, but thanks to Ersanity, Ersan just so spectacular in his fill-in games for Giannis, doing his best Giannis impression. I think he averaged like 17 and 10.
Yeah,
in the
he almost hit a 20-20 in the first game against the Hawks.
It's so ridiculous. I love Ersan, kind of. Sorry for mock trading you away like a dozen times later in this podcast, no, Ersan. It has to be done. That's just how salaries work. But I think a special shout out to Dante DiVincenzo, who has been a capable fill-in starter. Pretty much anyone smaller than Giannis misses time, it's going to be Dante who gets elevated to the starting lineup. I think that really speaks to how his role can change from more of a ball handler at times to more of a more typical wing, and how good he is defensively, because we know, you know, if he wasn't executing defensively, I don't think he'd find these minutes on a Coach Bud team. Like, I think somebody else would get the nod. But Dante has maintained that spot starter spot. I think that says a lot about his season.
Yeah, coming into the season, we were thinking Dante's going to have a bigger role. He's maybe going to start to put it together after the brief stuff we saw from him last season. And he's actually sort of lived up to expectations.
He's exceeded mine. Yeah. I didn't think he was this good at all.
He's lived up to the hype, let's say.
Yeah. For sure, the hype that the Bucks kind of built, because I know the Bucks talked him up a lot. The Bucks were right about that one. I feel confident in saying that.
Yeah, like, he's been a very capable role player, which is tough for a second year player, especially when they don't play as much in their first season. And he's just been great filling in. He can hit shots. He can make plays. Play defense. It's been great. And once again, sorry for mock trading you.
Yeah, it's gonna happen sometimes. We'll get there very soon. Before we get to our first, and we might do this again, we'll see what the response is, we'll see what kind of talks happen as we get farther and farther in a trade season, which is only, you know, like a month and a half from now it'll be over, so enjoy it while it's here. But the other thing we have to talk about first is the first fan returns for All-Star voting came out. And just a refresher in case anyone is wondering, anyone is worried about cases besides Giannis's. And we'll start off. Giannis did lead all vote getters with 1,073,000. Oh, no, he was second.
No, he was second.
He was second. Luka Doncic barely beat him out, but they both had 1,073,000 votes. Luka ends up with 599 more, which is very, very close. But Giannis getting more votes than LeBron, which is crazy. And more than 400,000 more votes than any other player in the Eastern Conference, which is also crazy. He will certainly be a captain for the Eastern squad again, or I guess it's not called that. It'll just be called Team Giannis. But so that'll be fun. But what's important to point out is I believe no other Bucks even placed in the voting.
That is
which
correct.
Is obviously, you know, it's a bummer for Chris Middleton, who I think we both agree is the obvious second All-Star here in Milwaukee. It doesn't really matter. Chris was never going to start this game. I hate to break that news, but considering the East has Giannis, Pascal Siakam, who's been incredible, and Joel Embiid, who's also been incredible, those three are pretty obviously the three starting forwards, and they were the three who led the conference in votes. Jim Butler was fourth, about 100,000 behind Pascal Siakam, but the fan vote, one, only goes towards starters. Reserves are picked by NBA coaches in each conference, so I think Chris Middleton still has a great chance of being represented there. These votes don't really matter to that. And the fan vote is only 50% of the starter selection. The other 25% is split between media ballots. I don't have one. Rohan, do you have one?
I do not.
Not yet. Not yet. Yes. Is how we're going to talk about that. And 25% is player votes, which are always hysterical and pretty random. So we'll see.
Because they just vote.
Out.
You can go through the ballots and see who voted for themselves.
Tony Allen's was just like the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. We need to get Tony Allen back in the league for one game, strictly for another All-Star ballot. Well, I guess he's media now. He could just do a media one. But okay. So do you have the graphic up in front of you?
I do.
The, So what? Let's just ping around. What are some highlights for you that you noticed right away?
Trae Young leading the guards in the
East? I thought it was surprising that he was number one. I do think Trae Young's an all-star, but being number one in the East over Kyrie Irving, who has barely played, but still over Kemba Walker, over Derrick Rose, way over Ben Simmons, and over
Trae Young over Derrick Rose is fine.
No, it's fine, but I just mean like in terms of voting wise, I think it's surprising. Like Trae Young has really exploded in popularity.
Confused because it's not like Atlanta's, like obviously Atlanta's a big market, but it's not like a glamour market, you know? So it's surprising.
There's a Trae Young hive out there. And I think there is a Trae Young hive. This is confirmation.
It's just crazy to see that he's getting as many votes as like Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, that is actually, he actually had more votes than
Jimmy Butler.
Which is pretty wild. Still like in the second tier of vote getters overall, I would say. I mean, like there's three guys who got at least a million. Anthony Davis just outside of that. Kawhi gets almost 750,000. James Harden gets almost 750,000. But I think the first name that jumped out to me was definitely Taco Fall.
Oh, yeah.
Taco Fall, sixth in the East in all-star votes so far. So it's Giannis, Embiid, Siakam, Jimmy Butler. It's like, okay, so far. Tatum, maybe a little high, but he's probably going to be an all-star. Taco Fall. Bam Adebayo, Gordon Hayward, Andre Drummond, and Domantas Sabonis. So,
yeah.
Taco Fall with 110,000 votes. Where did this come from? Some of the guys. I think he's just, it's like a cult classic thing. I mean, Alex Caruso was eighth for guards.
But I feel like more people know about Alex Caruso being like a basketball player than people know about Taco Fall.
Yeah, I think it's very surprising. Honestly, if you told me like yesterday, Caruso is going to be eighth in Western guards.
Above Devin Booker.
You know, above Devin Booker. That part is ridiculous. That part is crazy. I have Devin Booker on my team so far. I haven't fully finished it out yet. I think Devin Booker is an all-star. Again, this won't matter that he's not going to start. Like Luka and Harden are very obviously the two guards who deserve to start this year. Steph being fourth after playing like three games is pretty funny. But
yeah, Steph has played, what, four games?
Yeah, something that he's barely played, but... Like, okay, so Caruso being on this list, like, it wouldn't have stunned me. You know, I know that there's this weird L.A. Caruso cult. I see the meme.
He plays for the Lakers, so he's going to get a lot.
Yeah, like, and he was there when they were bad, and he's still there. So, like, everybody remembers him. So it's, like, kind of a meme. It's like, I don't know, sure, whatever. But I would not have expected Taco Fall to be at 110,000.
No. Above Spencer Dinwiddie, who I feel like is very deserving of being an all-star this season.
And who plays in New York.
Yeah. Like... I don't get it. And you would think if Boston fans are going ham, they're going to spam Gordon Hayward, right?
Yeah, who was only, he was fourth among Celtics in votes. Or no, fifth, I forgot about Taco Fall.
So it's just, I just don't get it. Like, how does Taco Fall get 35,000 more votes than Gordon Hayward?
If
you're talking a Boston fan.
Boston fans, I think we all know what you're saying there.
Yeah. I just realized what you meant.
Should we go through? Should we go through our starters for the All Star game so far? I think eight out of ten are very easy, right?
Yes.
Like you go ahead and do yours. I mean, the West I think is open and shut.
Okay, so for the West, I'm going Luka and Harden.
Yep.
LeBron, AD, and Kawhi.
Yeah, I think the voters nailed it. Those are the five leading the votes in their categories. I think that's absolutely just... I don't know who else would even really have a case.
You really can't.
Jokic showed up and, like, didn't care for the first month or so, and, like, they're still... The Nuggets are still going to be really good, but...
He's just starting to care now, so...
He's out. Like, Towns has been hurt, and they... Like, his team fell off.
And he's not been as good as AD or LeBron.
No.
Or Kawhi.
And Paul George might have a case over his own teammate, but he has just played so much less even than Kawhi has played.
Yeah, but I would still pick, if I had to pick one person from the Clippers, it would be Kawhi.
Yeah, I would as well. And then for the guards, like Lillard, I feel like is like very good this year. And like Donovan Mitchell's taking a leap. He's at like 23 points a game and his efficiency's back up a bit. But I just, there's levels. Like Doncic.
Yeah, Luka and Harden are on a completely different level than everyone else in the West in terms of guards. They are playing out of their minds, and it's those two. There's no other correct answer.
And then, all right, who do you have for the East? So, like, the front court, I already said, I'm guessing you're going to agree with my front court picks.
Mm-hmm. Giannis Embiid and Taco Fall.
Yeah, exactly. Giannis Embiid and Taco Fall. Is Taco Fall, I think he's a two-way player.
I believe so.
So this must be, I'm going to look that up, but this must be the highest two-way player has ever. The first time a two-way player has ever been rated, even, for All-Star, but that's ridiculous. Yeah, but what about the guards? The guards, I think, are a lot more interesting.
I would put Trae Young and Kyle Lowry.
So I'm close to that. I don't have Trey starting. I think his team's a little bit too bad. I think he's got to be an All-Star with the numbers he's putting up.
Oh, actually, no, I don't. Yeah, actually, I changed that. I'm going to put Kemba and Lowry.
So I have a different Boston guard.
Ooh.
I have Kyle Lowry and Jaylen Brown, who I think has been a bit better than Kemba Walker. I think Kemba is probably the guy who would get in out of Boston because he's more recognizable. Everybody loves Kemba. I think he's you know, a terrific guy or whatever. But I just think, like, and I know All-Star doesn't really care, but like defensively and efficiency-wise, Jaylen Brown has been quite a bit better. So I would go with Jaylen Brown there personally, but I could see the case for Trae Young or for Kemba.
Yeah. I mean, it's more of a toss-up because like I feel like all the Boston guys are playing on a similar level. I just like Kemba more.
Yeah, see, that's fair.
Yeah, but Kyle Lowry's just been incredible.
Yeah, he has. He's played less, but his numbers are really, really good, and he has a profound impact on that team. So I think, Lowry, but I don't know. It's tough. The guards in the East are really underwhelming.
It really, especially with Kyrie missing up so much time. Yeah. Like, he might end up starting because of the fan vote.
If he doesn't play, I don't know how that works. I tweeted that at Frank Madden because we were kind of talking about that. I can't remember a starter not, like, being able to play. I don't know what happens. At least it hasn't happened, I think, since this format change.
I think a reserve gets elevated to the starting lineup.
Like, just the next highest vote-getter across all votes? Oh, that's interesting.
And then the commissioner picks a new reserve.
Yeah, the commissioner always picks reserves. But he, like, with Russell, he just went with the next vote-getter, right?
Mm.
Okay, so it's
like
he
went with the next, highest coach's pick.
Oh, is that
because coaches picked the reserves? So, highest vote getter from the coaches, that was D'Angelo Russell last year.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's neat. Okay, so the East guards is kind of a mess. I think the most interesting thing for me out of all of this, honestly, is that Ben Simmons isn't higher. And I get it; he hasn't had a good season. But you just figure, like, on a team, I mean, I guess their record isn't good, and they've lost a lot in a row. Did I want an excuse to talk about how bad Philly's been recently? Maybe, It's weird to me, like, and not just, like, I shouldn't say, like, his result here as sixth among Eastern guards is interesting to me. I think it's more interesting just that his season has unfolded as such in a way where he's, like, comfortably, like, outside of the top few vote-getters. Like, it's, I obviously the fit isn't ideal. Like, I knew that going in. That was my reason to not like Philly this year. But I don't know. I didn't expect this, like, 14-point-per-game outing of a year so far for Ben Simmons. It's very strange.
I'm not even sure if he's an All-Star.
He might not end up being one. It's weird. There's gonna be like at least three Celtics that get in because they're all just very good. I think two Bucks are gonna be comfortably in. I think two Raptors probably are in.
Yep.
Miami probably gets two guys. The forward spots get
really
crowded.
They get Jimmy and Bam.
I thought that as well. The forward spots get crowded.
Well, they at least get
Sabonis.
Jimmy
for sure. Yeah. I think Sabonis might end up getting in over Brogdon or over a different forward.
Which is, it's completely deserved. Sabonis has had an incredible season. He deserves to be an All-Star.
Yeah, he's missed less time. But anyway, we don't have to do the whole All-Star thing right now. We can look at it later. We're going to get to our trades that I've been talking up here very, very soon. But first, let's talk about something less exciting. An untucked button-down. Those usually look bad. Do you know why, Rohan?
Why is that?
They weren't meant to be worn that way. Come on, man. But thankfully, there's Untuck It, the original button-down shirt actually designed to be worn untucked. No matter your size or shape, Untuck It shirts always fall at the perfect untucked length. You can find your favorite Untuck It style online or check out one of their 80 brick-and-mortar stores. That's a lot of stores. And they have a lot of fit options, too. Different patterns, all sorts of things. You will find something that looks good on you. The consensus will be, you're styling, you're looking good. So whether you're doing belated holiday shopping, we all end up in those situations, we get it, no judgment, or you're just trying to create a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untuck It is the way to go. I just got distracted by news. The Nets are waiving David Nwaba, but it's because he's out for the season with an Achilles. So there's your news in the middle of the Untuck It read. But visit untuckit.com and use promo code BLUE, B-L-U-E, for 20% off at checkout. That's untuckit.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off. I feel like we don't really probably need to talk about David Nwaba. Tough year for the Nets.
I did get distracted by that as well.
Yeah, I always get the buzz and I'm like, oh, shams. But anyway, let's get to trades, Rohan.
Let's do it. Fake trades, I will preface this by saying that I'm not very good at fake trades, but I enjoy them and I try. I deserve all of the backlash that I'm going to get for these, but I'm just saying that ahead of time.
Well, I think to preface this, a lot of them are going to sound the same on the Bucks end of the deal, and that's just unavoidable. Like, if the Bucks made a major trade, there's a few guys that almost have to be involved that do have to be involved just because of, like, salary constraints. So, like, well, let's set some parameters here. I think both of us agree, like, Giannis clearly is not getting traded no matter what.
Yes.
It's just not happening.
No.
I think George Hill has more value to the Bucks than to pretty much any team. So I doubt he's going to be included in any deal.
Yep.
And then I think the deal would have to be just unimaginably wild for Chris Middleton to be on the table as well.
Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty fair.
So without those three guys, and I think the same for George Hill applies to Brook Lopez. Like, I think Brook Lopez is not getting traded. So then there's only two guys who make any sort of money who are going to be involved in any reasonable deal. That's Eric Bledsoe and Ersan Ilyasova. And there's a lot of people who would tell you they should be off limits too because of how good the Bucks are. If that's your opinion, that's fine. Nothing against you.
The Bucks are really good. There's no doubt.
They are really good, but complacency can kill you in the NBA. So we are going to look at some fake trades. We've each got three realistic and three ridiculous trades. I say let's get through the realistic ones first and then get to the fun ones. So let's just go back and forth. We each brought three of each. We will discuss them now. Hopefully we don't have too many repeats. Mm-hmm. Rohan, what is your first realistic trade?
My first realistic trade is sending more second round picks to the Bayou. So we are getting... well, that's just one aspect of it. I don't know why I led with that. Whatever. We are getting, the Bucks will be acquiring J.J. Redick and Josh Hart for Ersan, Dante, Pat, Dragan Bender, and some future second-round picks.
Oh, wow. I don't know how I feel about this trade. I don't think I like it.
Okay, tell me why.
I don't know. See, Dante has played in such a way where I don't want to give him up unless you really have to. I don't know if I love the return enough there. And I feel like Redick and Korver, and I know Redick is better than Korver, but it's like the Spider-Man meme with like one of the Spider-Men just being older. I don't know.
Yeah, well, when you get J.J. Redick and Josh Hart, you're upgrading your depth. And even though you're getting rid of Dante, which would be very, very depressing, you are getting another young piece in Josh Hart, who still has untapped potential and is cost-controlled for the next couple years. So it's not like you're completely losing all the value you get from Dante.
Yeah. Are you starting Redick over West, or just kind of using him as a bench piece in this?
It would sort of... You could vary based on matchup. Because with West, you get... the reason I wanted to get this is because you're not having to trade West, because you're also keeping his defense and how well he's played in the starting lineup, but you're also getting J.J. Redick, who can wreck teams on his own. Who he counts for like two shooters worth of gravity. It's basically like you said, Kyle Korver. His gravity plus Giannis's gravity. It doesn't work for opposing defenses. And if you have two of them, like Redick and Korver, you don't have to worry about burning them out because you can always really realistically have one.
You kind of sold me. I'm very unsure about that trade. I think that trade is going to get some ire, but it is. I do think back now to how crucial Redick was in some of those Sixers series.
Redick was the only shooter for the Sixers, and yet it worked. Like, they still had spacing because of J.J. Redick.
That's true. Okay. I'll do my first one, and feel free to come at mine after I came at yours. I'm going to start with, this is what I've been looking at for a little while. I think while the other team wants to keep this guy, I think it makes sense for them to move him for the right deal. Ersan, Sterling Brown, and two second-round picks to Washington for Davis Bertans. So the main criticism I've heard when I've brought up Bertans as a Bucks target from Bucks people is, what if it's just Mirotić round two? And I think the biggest reason it's not is, like, Mirotić was shooting, I think, 36% from deep, which was pretty real, like, consistent for him over his career. Bertans right now is at like 43, and he was in the well into the 40s last year as well on more attempts. Like, he is just an absolute lockdown sniper, but with his size, I've always been intrigued by, like, Giannis, another big, and Brook Lopez lineups, and I think Bertans could do much better offensively than Mirotić could, even if he's not obviously not going to be able to play five defense like you would want, like the Lopez brothers can. I think you'd have to be in like a small lineup and just switching or something to have Bertans. I keep wanting to just say Davis Bertans at the five with Giannis, but I just think offensively he could provide some of that same like shock and awe mortar firing from the 3-point range as Redick could, but just at a bigger size. And I think, like, Washington wants to keep him, I know that. And I don't know if Sterling Brown, Ersan's basically expiring in 2 seconds is enough for them to give up Bertans, but
you might have to give Dante price instead of Sterling, and I will say that this was my second realistic trade, so we can just talk about this more in depth. I do, yeah, I completely agree. Bertans would be a massive upgrade. He has, like, Mirotić was a traffic cone on defense. That's not going to be Bertans. Like, Bertans is actually capable of moving his feet, and he's bigger and has longer arms, so, you know, that just, there's just physical qualities that just make him a better defender. And you can't really get much worse than what Mirotić was against the Raptors. So you take this chance, and guess what? If it doesn't really work, you don't have to play him because you still have Giannis at the four. He was not going anywhere. And you still have DJ, and you still have Robin Lopez as another backup big. One of the main things about why you had to play Mirotić is because, well, Bud doesn't really like to play DJ that much. Okay, fine, we accept that. But they didn't have another backup big. It was Ersan, and it was Mirotić behind Robin Lopez. Brook Lopez, sorry. But now you have Robin Lopez.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Bertans could work really well, and I think if you look at some of the teams the Bucks will match up against, a lot of them actually do start two bigs. I mean, Philly, clearly, like, Bertans will be fine against Al Horford. More than fine, I would say. And then, like, the Lakers are going to use a lot of Anthony Davis and another center. So I think there's places to put these big guys that'll work just fine. So, yeah, I like the idea of getting Bertans. And since that was yours as well, I'll just go with another one of mine. It's the same base beginning, Ersan and Sterling Brown. Then we throw in the Pacers picks, a first and a second, for Bogdan Bogdanović. Ooh, I know there is a big Bogdan Bogdanović hive. I don't know if that's enough or not for Bogdan. I feel like maybe. I like this trade because, like, some of these Ersan deals I like just because it feels like you're forcing Bud to play DJ a little bit. Hopefully, we'll see. Maybe it'll just be like Tanasis minutes instead. I'm not really sure. God. But I just think, like, this is really upgrading your depth in a very smart way and using the Brogdon haul for something, like, tangible right away. A guy you could control if you want to, and Bogdan, who's entering restricted free agency and who's having a really good year. I worry a little bit about contract year syndrome with him, but I think this is a pretty worthwhile gamble. You're not giving up on a lot. Sterling Brown seems to be in the doghouse right now. A lot of like, just Twitter people assume he's going to be gone soon. I don't know if they'll trade him just to trade him. I guess we'll see. But I just think, like, for the cost of Ersan and the Pacers picks, swapping out Sterling Brown for Bogdan Bogdanović is a huge upgrade.
It's a massive upgrade. He's been playing so well, and he would fit so well with this team. Like, if you just, I'm assuming you would start him.
Probably, yeah. I'm not sure if I would, honestly. The reason I'm less excited about Bogdan trades is Wes's defense has impressed me
so
much.
That's what I've had a lot of trouble with when coming up with these trades, because when you're taking someone out, like, the weakest link in the starting lineup is the Wes's spot. But if you take him out and try to, like, upgrade him, a lot of the upgrades are not as good defensively as Wes Matthews. And that's been a lot of the value that he's brought to this team.
Yeah. No, I mean, having him to use on primary forward and some, like, guard options, like wing options, I guess you could say, has taken so much of a load off Chris Middleton and been so huge. That's why, like, the more I look at it, I think the Bucks can upgrade their point guard spot. Just looking at playoff production mostly. I don't think you'll find a better regular season point guard who's available. Or just someone you could even play at point guard, given the ball handlers and how good a ball handler the incoming guy is. So maybe maybe there's times when you want to run Bogdan with the starters instead of Bledsoe, I guess. That could be an option, especially in a playoff series. But it's hard for me to look at many guys and go, I want to start them over Wes and play them in Wes's minutes just based on how crucial he's been defensively. It's a good problem to have. There's not a lot of replacements or upgrades you can make, but it does kind of hamstring you when you come to trying to make these trades.
Yeah, it's like I said, it just causes a lot of issues when you're trying to trade Wes out of there. This is proof for those people who say, like, well, the Bucks don't really need to make a trade. Well, this is evidence of that.
Yeah, it is. So what's your last realistic trade?
Well, you hinted at this earlier, but Robert Covington for Ersan, Dante, and the Pacers picks. The first and the second.
See, I feel like that's a lot to give up for Rocco. I don't know.
I feel like that's what you're going to have to give to get him.
See, my issue with
you could swap out Dante for Sterling.
Then I'm more interested. Then I'm intrigued by it. For me right now, there's a bit of a gulf between Dante and Sterling in value. And it's so, I mean, we're all kind of guessing at what trade value is. It's kind of always fluid. But the thing about Covington, obviously, like, he is one of the few guys where you do feel like, okay, his defense can just come in and replace Wes's defense. He's a terrific defender, you know, an all-defense guy. Although I don't think he's actually been on the team in a while. 17-18, he was all-defense, not since then. But his three-point shooting is then a little bit more of a concern for me.
I think am I wrong in saying that he's shooting better than Ersan this year?
Maybe. He's at 33.7 right now. And he came off two better years where he was around 36-37%, but the couple of years before that, he was back at 33. Ersan actually right now is at 38.1.
On the season?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Basketball Reference tells me it is.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So Ersan's been at least maybe...
Oh, I was looking at wrong numbers. Yeah. Yeah.
The Ersanity games probably helped there.
But yeah, it's... Well, it may not seem like it's going to be... Like, there is a gulf, obviously, between their three-point shooting. Like, is it really going to necessarily matter, that difference?
Probably not. So are you looking at him as like a... Like, how would you use him? Would you start him over Wes?
I would probably start... Yes, I would have to start him over Wes.
I think you would, yeah.
But when it gets down to, like, if you want to play with lineups, you can, like, play him at the four with Giannis at the five.
Ooh, okay, so that's intriguing. I like that.
Like, he's what, 6'7", 211? But he plays bigger. So, I mean, you're giving up size there, but when you're going small with Giannis at the five, you can make up for it because he's such a good defender. And then you can still get the spacing sort of that Ersan provides, but you get more defense, which is important when you're going smaller.
I do like that. Okay, I like that reason. That does give you a little bit more flexibility, which we've talked a lot about how important flexibility is. So I could see that. I still don't know about Dante.
And it plays with the, if you're starting him at the two, like, he's a big two if you're starting him there. So it gives you more size, which sort of, well, like you said earlier, like, the Bucks play better when they play bigger.
Yeah, no, I see it. I see the vision there. My last one is a curveball. This is not a guy who's really been talked about much, but I've seen chatter. He's playing a lot less over the last few games. He seems to be in a doghouse, and this is a team that is really struggling. And I don't think it's going to work this way. There might need to be picks. But for salary-wise, DJ Wilson for Dario Saric.
Ooh.
Maybe some sort of picks. Dario, I think, is at like 14 points per game in his last four or five games. I kind of relatable. DJ Wilson not even playing that much. I think Dario's still starting despite the low minutes. But DJ barely playing at all. But maybe the Bucks throw in one or two of the Pacers picks. Maybe a couple second-round picks. Dario Saric, though, not really meshing well in Phoenix right now. I know he's older despite not being in the league that long than DJ, so this could be an interesting kind of like change of scenery trade for both teams, and it would give the Bucks somebody who I think fits a little bit better than DJ does.
Oh, I really like that.
Yeah, so I'll talk about going bigger with a guy who can shoot. I mean, he was really good in those Philly lineups with Embiid and Simmons, which I think says a lot about how he can fit into different lineups, because that's not an easy group to fit into. He just really, like, that unit was just a lot better with him on the floor. And I think he's the kind of player where when he's on a fun team that moves the ball, he's really at his best. So I think the Bucks would put him in a really good position. Also, Philly fans would be absolutely desolate to see him join the Bucks.
Oh, just the tears would be worth it on its own.
Honestly.
Let's see. He's shooting 33% from three. Like, I'm going to say I'm not super familiar because I haven't watched a lot of Suns game. How's his defense been holding up this season, if you know?
See, I'm not sure about that as well. Like, my main thing for being all for it is just purely the success he had in that 17-18 season when he was, like, the guy on those. Like, not the guy, but he was, like, a crucial part of that really surprisingly good Sixers team.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's very fair. But I think what we learned is that this team needs, like, it, if it needs to make a trade, it needs to be able to keep its defense. Because we've seen that if they make a trade to lessen their defense, it does not work out. Especially if this is, like, this is for the playoffs. So if you have, like, a defensive liability in the playoffs, that's not going to work.
No, absolutely. And see, I'm not as educated there on Saric. I feel like he holds his own.
I feel like he's not, like, a bad defender.
Yeah,
he's not a
negative. I think he would do all right. I can't remember a time of him getting like repeatedly exposed or anything, but I totally could be missing something.
I feel like he's one of those guys who can like hold his own.
For sure. And one of the ways he would help defensively is he's a very good rebounder. Mm-hmm. Even in low minutes throughout his career, he's always gotten, like this year, he's almost 7 rebounds a game at less than 27 minutes per. So that just helps right there. I mean, the Bucks have had some games recently where they have struggled containing teams on the board. So I think if you had him, Giannis, and Lopez starting, which I imagine you would, I don't know exactly how it would look, but even just having him as a reserve, I just think it gives you another really good rebounder. I think that could not hurt. But I just think it'd give you kind of a challenge because you're trading someone who's not in the rotation for certainly a rotational level player, but it would be fun to add a guy of that talent.
It's tough to make a bad deal with the Phoenix Suns.
Also true.
Yeah.
Also very true.
You can. They might. Well, give, they might give off, you a but... pick to. Oh, Boston did pull it off, didn't they? they sure Danny did. Ainge. He never does anything wrong.
Of course not, and he's so close to pulling a lot of trades. But speaking of so close, here's a bunch of trades that will probably never come close to getting pulled off.
Oh yeah. Now we're getting into the real fun.
We are, but we're running a little longish, so let's try to go with a little bit of speed here through our fantasies. But what's your first ridiculous trade?
Well, this guy's been mentioned for either of the LA teams, but why can't Milwaukee get in the mix for Andre Iguodala?
Ooh.
Yeah. If you give, I mean, you're going to have to give up a lot. He makes like $17 million a year. So you're going to have to give up Ersan, Robin, Sterling, Dragan, and probably Indiana's first. Because what's the thing that Memphis can't get from either LA team? They can't get a young pieces, and they can't get picks. If the Bucks offer both, they're already outbidding the LA teams. So, and can you imagine the defense? Oh my goodness.
It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, you get a fully rested Iggy who hasn't had to play since the playoffs last season.
I'm a little worried about his rust, but
that's what the second half of the regular season is for. Because you need him for the playoffs. And he's shown in the past that he can have a terrible regular season and then turn it on for the playoffs with those Golden State teams. And you get someone else to throw at Kawhi, LeBron in the finals.
Well, I'm intrigued.
Like it's probably not going to happen. He's probably going to go to the Clippers and the Lakers, but whew, that would be so much fun. I don't even know how he would fit.
I don't either. That'd be a tough one. The Bucks would certainly be big, strong, and long. Then if they any like lineups with him, a center, Giannis, and Chris Middleton, like that's just
you can't score on that team.
No, there's arms everywhere there. That's a lot of fun. So I do like that one. I don't know if Iggy would want to play with Milwaukee. You would think he would for a contender, but who knows? That's fun. So my first one is one I've talked about a lot. No, I don't think it's happening. But Eric Bledsoe, Ersan Ilyasova, Dante DiVincenzo, and the two Pacers picks for Jrue Holiday. Just, I know people hate how much it hurts the depth. I know people hate losing Dante for sure, and Bledsoe, and even Ersan. But I just think Jrue Holiday, having him, a lineup of him, Wes Matthews, Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Brook Lopez is just like, that's a championship-winning lineup with no doubt in my mind. So that's why I'd roll the dice on that one. But I don't think any of these are happening, but that would certainly be a fun one. What's your next one?
Ooh, I would have to eat a lot of crow for this one because I would have to delete a lot of tweets that are slanderous. but getting reigning NBA champion Kyle Lowry. That is, as an upgrade at the point guard spot for probably like Bledsoe, Dante, Sterling, just like the farm plus like two firsts or something.
Well, that's a lot of firsts, but
like you could do like the Indiana first and then like a 2024 first or something.
Yeah, I think it's got to be 26 because of
protections. Oh yeah, you're right, it's got to be 26. But yeah,
see, I would love it. I actually am higher on Kyle Lowry than a lot of people. But so the one thing I've heard, aside from the Bucks kind of giving up a lot to get an older kind of injured point guard, which again, I think his upside would probably be worth it. I mean, we've seen he can be the point guard on a championship winning team. I brought this up to a Raptors person who quickly posited, I don't think Masai is going to try to help the Bucks win a title this year for pretty obvious 2021 free agency reasons.
Yeah.
I like that we're just poking holes in our own trades.
Hey, we're being real. We shouldn't be realistic. This is the unrealistic part.
Whatever. It's good to be realistic.
You gotta give some sort of context. You gotta bring it down to earth a little bit. But
yeah.
But yeah, I didn't really think about that. Yeah, Masai would not want to help the Bucks. Or maybe he thinks this trade does help the Bucks. I don't know.
It doesn't help the Bucks.
It doesn't. That's tough.
I don't know. I'll also be worried about trading with Masai in general.
Yeah, that scares me.
Past trades with other teams and past Bucks Raptors trades.
Oh god. Well, at least the Grievous Vasquez trade. If you remember that, you were a real OG. But
truly,
yeah, like that is the worst trade ever. Like he played like what, 10 games?
If that. Wait, who did the Raptors draft with the pick?
OG.
Oh, the way Norm Powell. Powell, I thought, right?
Yeah, it was Norman Powell.
Or was it both?
Oh, it was both.
It was a first and a second, yep, right? Second was Powell and the first was OG.
Yep.
That's painful.
Mm-hmm.
The way you said if you're a real OG, I thought that was like a double meaning. I was like, oh man. That's
definitely was.
Oh, that's good. That's good wordplay.
But yeah, it was, yeah, whatever. But it's John Horst is much better.
Yes.
GM than Jason Kidd. So,
yes, yeah. Well,
why are we bringing this up? This is just making me sad. What's your next ridiculous trade?
So I'll do one I've talked about, I think on Twitter and the Discord, or maybe mostly in the Discord. The Blazers are kind of in a bad spot, and I heard the Bucks are interested in CJ.
Yeah, Woj
said
that.
That was a real rumor. Yeah. So just based on that, I mean, I don't know if this really works for either team. I am intrigued by getting CJ, but Eric Bledsoe, Ersan, DJ, and the Pacers picks again, maybe like even an extra second or something for CJ McCollum, which I think you just play CJ as a point guard on this team, which I think is fine. Like, I think he can do that. Obviously lose a lot defensively going from Bledsoe to CJ, but the stuff he opens up on the offensive end for me makes this worthwhile regardless, and he's been more of a proven playoff contributor. Mm-hmm. But
and he's much better shooter.
Oh yeah, he's a ridiculous pull-up shooter, which kind of hurts his efficiency because he really takes some hard shots, but I think those are the shots the Bucks could really use you know, when things get tight. But again, I don't think
CJ on this team would be amazing. I've been thinking about this one for years because the Blazers have been linked to blow it up for years.
Yeah, and they never do.
Yeah, who knows, might be the season.
I'm gonna go with my next one because I feel like I don't even have that much fun with it. It's just ridiculous. This is someone who's certainly on the block though, or at least it's probably gonna be moved this year. Bledsoe, Ersan, DJ again, and 2 seconds this time, no first for Kevin Love. Which just you get really big. You don't really play a point guard. You probably just play like Wes, Chris, Giannis, Kevin Love, and Brooke. And I mean, you're stretchy. You're big. You rebound better. You lose some ball handling. I think your offense might get a little more gummed up with Kevin Love and Brooke Lopez. I don't know.
They both stretch out.
They stretch out, but like they're not ball handlers.
That's true.
I think defenses would collapse a little easy against you. Like, I don't know. It's something.
It is. It's definitely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Kevin Love he's the biggest name that's on the market. Like he's probably the biggest name that's going to get moved. But.
I don't think it's here. I think it makes more sense probably out west somewhere.
Yeah, probably. He's always been linked to the Blazers.
Yep.
Just like the Blazers have perpetually been in trade rumors for either acquiring every single big name or just blowing it up. But yeah, I don't know if the fit's here. The fit would be very interesting. Like it'd be good to see. Like it would play to the Bucks playing really big, and that would be fun. Like Kevin Love's a fun player. But yeah, I don't really. Yeah, I don't really see that necessarily working out. And my last ridiculous trade is sort of similar to my Kyle Lowry trade. It is the big fish. It is Chris Paul. Yeah, you have to trade everyone.
Everyone. Yeah.
Like, you're just, what, you have to set down Bledsoe, Ersan, Robin Lopez, Dante, and Sterling. Mm. Just to match, like, just to get into the within 75% of Chris Paul's, just, like, enormous amount of money that he makes, which is $38.5 million.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
And it goes up.
It does go up. God.
See, my thing with Chris Paul, if it could just be Bledsoe and Ersan, if that worked money-wise, I feel like you could probably talk me into it. Like, I do think he would raise the ceiling a little bit if that was the trade. Like, I think the lineup of him, Matthews, Middleton, Antetokounmpo, Lopez would be very, very good. He's still a good defender. He can still
He's been playing very well this season. Like, Oklahoma City is above 500 and in, like, what, the sixth seed right now? Or the seventh seed?
Yeah. Seventh seed, yeah. I think. They're probably going to make the playoffs with how weak the bottom of the West is.
Yeah, and Chris Paul is, like, the main reason why.
Yeah, he's been terrific, him and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But I just think, I don't think you got your team that much to add Chris Paul on that contract at that age. Like, I think there's just too much involved for it to work. I do think he's probably the most available player that good. But I don't know about it.
It's the contract. That's the only reason.
Yeah, if he was making $20 million this year, I'd say, you know what, let's
if it was $20 million up, going up, like, in the same way that it does, like, in 2021, 2022, he has a player option for $44 million.
I think he's gonna take it. That's my there's a scoop right now. There's a scoop right now. You can call me Woj.
Are we getting breaking
Chris
news?
Paul's accepting that.
Yeah. Sources tell me that Chris Paul is going to opt into that.
Yes. Chris Paul does want $45 million.
What is he going to be? 36-year-old Chris Paul? Is he going to... Well, then again, I mean, can you trade him again?
I don't know if you can at that point.
Yeah, that's true. Then again, that Mozgov contract got, like, shipped around, like, 10 times.
Yeah, it did, but I think that...
Especially on, like, an expiring or something?
Yeah.
An expiring contract of $38 or $40 million would be so worth. Like, it would be worth a lot.
Would it? Like, you have to take on a lot of salary.
That is very true.
To use it. Like, I think at a point, every contract, like, even if it's just 1 year.
I don't think that this is a good trade, but it could happen.
Yeah, if the Bucks really, if they like, wanted to hit the desperation
button. If you just add Chris Paul for 1 year, like, upgrading over, let's say you replace Chris Paul with, like, if you replace Eric Bledsoe with Chris Paul, like, you're going to win the title. Like, you might win the title, there's very good chance you do win the title with Bledsoe, but if you get Chris Paul instead of Eric Bledsoe and keep everything the same, like, there's no way you don't win.
Yeah, but that's unfortunately not the way the trade would work.
It is not. There's a lot of complexities, and this is why it is in the ridiculous section.
Exactly. And I believe that's our last ridiculous trade for this episode. Yeah.
Do you have anything else you wanted to necessarily hit?
Two quick things that it's not really like discussion points. Rajon Tucker was the G League Player of the Month for December. Congratulations to him for that honor. Obviously, Heard well legend. Deserved. He's on the Jazz now, but
yeah, good for him. And yeah, what was your second thing?
Dragan Bender's contract guarantees on Tuesday if he's not waived by then.
I feel like I saw you said this on Twitter. Like, it's going to get guaranteed.
I think so.
Like, there's no reason not to.
I mean, it would like the like Hollinger wrote a piece about all the guys' guarantee dates that were coming up, which is why it's kind of a thing right now. And it was like it would make sense if they wanted to waive him and save some money and then look for buyout or guys or whatever. And I'm like,
if you get up, you can just cut him anyway.
Yeah, you only save like a few hundred thousand, which is not that much at the NBA level. And I think he is kind of in their long-term plans, like very long-term. And I just don't think any of the buyout guys are really going to excite anyone that much. Like, I don't think Iggy ever gets bought out. I think the Grizzlies would trade him or maybe otherwise just hold him. I don't, like, TT, I don't think makes sense to get bought out. Tristan Thompson, I think the Cavaliers would rather just keep him. So I wouldn't be that concerned about a roster spot. I'd more,
and
like, cross that bridge if you come to
it. Frank Mason, probably, like him, yeah, rather than if he ran out of days, you can convert him to a two-way.
Well, the opposite.
Well, could you not convert Bender into a two-way if Frank Mason's days run out?
You would have to.
Or does he have too much NBA experience?
Well, he can agree to it, I think, anyway, but you can't just convert it. I think you'd have to actually cut him.
Yeah, like you'd have to cut him, and like you could still keep him around.
I don't know if that, and that there's a, the date for that is coming up soon as well.
Is it?
It's in January.
You would know more.
I don't think that would work.
Okay. Well, maybe not.
I don't know if he would sign that anyway, but I don't know. I'd be surprised if Bender just got let go just to have the flexibility of the roster spot. I don't think it's that useful.
Yeah.
But
like you could keep him.
That's not reporting. Yeah. That's guessing.
Yeah. Like he can be a valuable piece going forward. Like he's shown that he is very capable.
Yeah, I think he's. I think they're gonna see if they can make him into a knockoff Brook Lopez. That's the hope, at least. So we'll see if it works.
Yep. He's currently rocking a 19.5 PER. Ooh,
that's baller numbers.
very small sample size, but
quite small. But that is that's all I've got.
Yeah, I don't think we have anything else to hit, but. Hopefully, all of you listening out here enjoyed this fake trade season palooza and all the stuff we talked about beforehand. If you do like fake trades, we do talk about this a lot in our Discord. If you want to get involved in our Discord, just send a picture of you listening to the pod to me or Ty. We'll get you involved. And we want to say thank you for all the support recently. We've been getting a lot of support. And, you know, you guys are listening, you're supporting. And, you know, if you want to keep doing it, thank you. And if you want to, you know, keep spreading the word, tell your friends, tell your family about the podcast, you know, every pod on the Blue Wire Network, do that. That's great. You're spending a lot of time with family over New Year's, like this holiday season. You know what? Tell them about the podcast. See if they like it. But other than that, you know, just keep supporting. We thank you for listening to this episode, and we will talk to you next time.